Hi, welcome to another episode of Cold Fusion. In the middle of 2025, Porsche's CEO Oliver Blume wrote a message to his employees. Inside that message was a crucial line, quote, "Our business model no longer works in its current form." Hearing that from Porsche is unusual. This is a company built on control, precision, and a long history of financial stability. Their cars have carried confidence over the years. You can think of the 911 Carrera RS from the 70s, the futuristic 959, or the Porsche 911 Spyder that blended electric power with race engineering. These were the cars that defined ambition, and for decades the formula seemed to work. It was simple. Porsche built luxurious fast cars, and people bought them. And as such, the company became one of the most consistently profitable automakers in the world. And that's why the recent headlines feel so unexpected. The most shocking was Porsche's operating profit. It once comfortably sat in the billions, but it fell from 4.04 billion euros to roughly 40 million euros in the first 9 months of 2025. To put that in simple terms, it was a staggering 99% collapse. At the same time, demand in some of their most important markets has slowed, and the transition to electric vehicles has become far more expensive and complicated than expected. All of these pressures came together at the same time. Now, a brand known for its stability is bordering on a crisis. So how did Porsche get to this point? In this episode, we explore Porsche's struggles and exactly why the business model that carried them for decades suddenly collapsed. This is the last Cold Fusion episode for the year, so let's get into it.
You are watching Cold Fusion TV.
Porsche, nothing even comes close.
For most of its life, Porsche has been a company you could count on. Year after year, the brand stayed solid. Great cars and financially steady. This was even the case when the rest of the industry was struggling. Sure, there were minor dips, but they always bounced back quickly. Part of that stability came from the way Porsche built its cars and brand image. The early models set the tone. When the very first Porsche 356 appeared in 1948, it showed what the company cared about: a light, clean design and engineering that felt intentional. That approach created something rare. Porsche became recognizable in a way that most brands never manage. The 911 made that clear. It's unmistakable and iconic. A low front, round headlights, and a curve that flowed effortlessly to the back. Even people who have never driven one knew the shape. Sports cars made Porsche desirable, but the SUVs made it familiar. The Cayenne in 2002, and later the Macan, brought the brand into everyday life and turned into a commercial success. While those models shaped Porsche's presence on the road, racing shaped its identity. Over the decades, the company earned around 30,000 victories. Porsche's performance reputation felt earned rather than advertised. The experience of owning a Porsche helped too. Porsche dealerships often ranked near the top for customer satisfaction, with many buyers returning again and again. In the United States, the brand regularly appears among the highest for owner loyalty. Price played its own part in the brand's image. A new Porsche 911 starts around $110,000, and higher trims easily cross the $200,000 mark. But also, older 911s often hold value well above $100,000, depending on condition and rarity. Behind the scenes, Porsche kept tight control over its production. Vertical integration helped the company maintain consistency and keep the costs predictable, and that showed up in the numbers. Porsche earned an estimated 18,000 euros in profit per vehicle, a solid figure for a company its size. Ferrari sat much higher at 136,000 euros of profit per car. But in the broader luxury market, Porsche still stood out. These pieces shaped a brand that felt both exclusive and familiar. If Porsche built a model this strong, how on earth did its operating profit collapse by 99% in 2025?
Profits at German carmaker Porsche plunged by nearly 96% in the first 9 months of this year. Porsche said the drop in profits was due to a change in strategy as the company shifted its focus back to combustion engines after weak demand for its electric vehicles.
Profits weren't the only thing slipping. Porsche's global revenue and deliveries were also moving downward in 2025. Sales fell by 6%, roughly equal to 1.7 billion euros in lost revenue, and around 13,000 fewer vehicles delivered across the year. So what's driving all of this? It's a mix of geopolitical pressure, an expensive technology shift, and a global economy that's becoming harder to navigate. One of the biggest challenges comes from China. The country has been one of Porsche's strongest markets for years, but in early 2025, something flipped. Deliveries in China dropped by 42% compared to the previous year. Some of this came from weaker luxury spending, but a lot of it came from competition. Chinese brands like Zeekr, NIO, and Xiaomi's SU7 began offering cars with advanced software, strong performance, and lower prices. You may scoff at the Chinese phone brand Xiaomi being put as competition to Porsche, but I implore you to watch MKBHD's review of the SU7 car.
It's sick. And then there's the active noise cancellation on top of that. So it just feels like a really serene, calm experience just because it's so well built.
It's not often you see a car with great software, great features, great build quality, great versatility, great range, and a great drive, and all stacked together. Like, that's pretty elite.
There is basically no question in my mind that if a car like this was available in the US for $42,000, that it would crush, of course. And we may never get a car like this available in the US for $42,000.
But Europe will, allegedly, in 2027. And I would say that the competition over there is at least in a little bit of trouble when that happens.
The world has changed, and China can make great cars now. Chinese buyers are starting to choose tech and value over heritage. They wanted intelligence inside their car as much as power under the hood. Suddenly, the German badge was no longer a deciding factor. Now, Porsche's business might not be doing well at the moment, and these things happen when you're running a business. Keeping track of customers, leads, and sales can get messy. That's why today's sponsor, Odoo, is focusing on a tool that sits right at the heart of building a business, their CRM app. Odoo is an all-in-one business management platform that brings everything together in one place, from websites and invoicing to accounting, sales, and project management. And with the Odoo CRM, you can manage your entire sales process from first contact to close deal, all in a single pipeline. You can now capture new leads instantly from your emails, track every opportunity in a simple drag-and-drop sales pipeline, and manage your internal and external communications, all with an Odoo CRM application. From chats and calls to emails and meetings, everything stays centralized. Nothing falls through the cracks. And when it comes to growing your business, Odoo CRM Pipeline makes it easy to analyze performance and forecast revenue, all at a glance. Best of all, with Odoo, you can start your first app completely free for life, with unlimited hosting and support. And as your business grows, you can add more apps seamlessly, with full access starting from just $34.40 Australian dollars per user per month, or $24.90 US dollars per user per month. So if you're looking to organize your sales, streamline your workflow, and keep everything under one roof, click the link in the description to get started with Odoo CRM today. Big thanks to Odoo for supporting this video. Now, back to the story. At the same time, Porsche was dealing with its own electric transition, and it wasn't going so well. The company entered the EV space confidently with the Taycan. It had early momentum, but interest slowed down eventually. In 2024, global Taycan deliveries fell by 49%. The company once aimed for 80% EV sales by 2030, and that target has now been softened. CEO Oliver Blum called the goal, quote, not realistic anymore. The issue wasn't the Taycan itself. Yes, the first generation did have its little niggles, but it's just that the EV luxury market had just moved in unpredictable ways. Interest went up, then down, then sideways. Meanwhile, the input costs never relaxed. Part of that pressure came from Porsche's own strategy. The company has been investing heavily in new production capability, reworking factories, and building out battery operations so it can offer a wide mix of models. Recently, company filings show that about 2.7 billion euros has gone into upgrades of new facilities alone. It's that kind of spending that makes sense long term, but in the short term, it sits on the balance sheet like a massive weight. Then, there was the broader economic environment. Tariff pressure had made things even tougher. Porsche noted that the latest trade measures pushed its costs into the hundreds of millions, a hit that landed right as the company was already spending heavily on new production. Altogether, Porsche expects to invest 3.1 billion euros in 2025. And even with cautious planning, the company is only projecting a small positive revenue margin once the proposed 15% US import tariff is included. So when you look at everything together, the picture starts to make sense. Eventually, it all added up. the world around the company simply changed faster than the business model could keep up. Porsche now finds itself in an unusual place. The company needs healthy sales to fund its engineering ambitions. But the more it tries to scale, the more it risks losing the exclusivity people expect from the brand. That balance has always been delicate, and the shift to electric cars has made it even tighter. Pricing is where the tension shows up first. In the West, high-performance electric cars are expensive to build. Batteries, cooling systems, software, motors, everything carries a premium. It's a balance of delivering quality for the right price. If Porsche prices its EVs too high, demand drops. If prices for them are too low, the margins disappear. Finding that balance has become harder. There was a time when adding more models would help solve problems like this. Porsche expanded into SUVs, and for a long stretch, the move paid off. But the SUV space is crowded now. Every luxury brand has one, to the chagrin of motoring enthusiasts. But anyway, Porsche isn't the only one going through this. Every high-end automaker is dealing with the same question. Ferrari, Bentley, Mercedes-AMG, BMW, all of them need huge research budgets to develop modern electric platforms. And all of them are trying to guess where the demand is heading. What makes Porsche important here, besides the catastrophic 99% collapse in profits, is what the situation represents. It's a company known for its discipline. A company that built its reputation on engineering confidence and financial consistency. When Porsche says the ground under its business has shifted, it tells us something about the landscape itself. It suggests that heritage isn't enough anymore, brand power isn't guaranteed, and the next generation of luxury performance will be shaped by technology and investment levels that are difficult for even the strongest companies to manage, as well as a threat from the East. So what does this all mean for Porsche's future? Opinions are split here. Some people see the brand drifting away from the conditions that made it successful. Others see a company preparing to reshape itself for a new era. There is a more cautious view that says that Porsche's challenges run deeper. Markets that once gave the company strength have cooled, and the emotional appeal that Porsche has built up over decades does not automatically transfer to electric performance. Under that view, the road back to the healthy business that they once enjoyed may be long. But there's an alternative, optimistic way to see this moment. Porsche has had a long history of adapting when circumstances demand it. The company has made bold moves before. Reinvention is something Porsche has done repeatedly, and this may be another one of those points in time. You can already see hints of where the company is aiming. The recent focus on hybrids suggests a more measured approach to electrification. Limited-run performance models continue to show strong demand. It shows that scarcity can be a stabilizing force. And by tightening its volume expectations, Porsche may be preparing to prioritize identity over scale. If this strategy holds, the next phase of Porsche will likely feel more curated. Fewer models chasing broad appeal, and more emphasis on the kinds of cars that remind people why the brand became iconic in the first place. In that sense, this moment becomes less of a decline and more of a recalibration. Though it raises a bigger question. What does a luxury performance brand look like in a world where the technology moves quickly and consumer priorities shift every year? Porsche is trying to answer that now, and the way it answers may influence how the rest of the segment evolves. Even if Porsche's decades-long financial blueprint can break under this intense pressure, what does it say about the future of luxury manufacturing and consumer desire itself? A little personal note. As a fresh 9-year-old, I remember playing Need for Speed Porsche Unleashed. At that time, I fell in love with the cars and the brand all the way back then, and they've kept making great cars ever since. So ultimately, I'd love to see Porsche do well. But what do you think? Should Porsche produce lower volume to protect its exclusivity? Or is it going to be a lost cause? Let me know in the comments section below. Hey guys, thanks so much for watching the whole way through this episode. As I did mention, this is the last video for 2025, so thanks for making it a great year, and we'll be up to bigger and better things next year, so stay tuned. Also, just a small thing, I actually have released some music on Spotify if you're into that. If you type in Burn Water, you'll be able to find it, but I'll leave the links below anyway, so you can check it out there. But that's about it from me. Thanks for watching, and hope the rest of your year is great, and I'll see you again soon for 2026. Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Cold Fusion. It's new thinking.